Fine. I don't know where the guys are. We'll start. So last week we're busy with the seven differences between a Baal HaBetochen and someone who's not a Baal HaBetochen. Last week we dealt with a positive aspect. But someone who's a Baal HaBetochen, he's not worried about the future. He doesn't grieve about it. He's not worried about tomorrow. He doesn't rejoice about tomorrow because he doesn't even feel if he'll even be here tomorrow. Went through all the positive aspects of this person who basically uses up all his energy that he has. Instead of worrying about the future and feeling bad about the past, he's busy collecting as much as he can in order to take with him on the journey. That's where the Baal HaBetochen is. So how does he differ from someone who's not a Baal HaBetochen? So that's where I want to pick up from today. He says, "Asheinu betach be'elokim, yar be'evloi v'hasmodas piga oilam alav." Someone who doesn't trust in Hashem, so he behaves in the opposite way. He is greatly upset and deserve and mourning, grieving. I don't know how to translate that. Miss Abel, he's not mourning. He's upset. he's upset about all the things that go wrong in the world, all the things that the regular things that go wrong in everybody's life. Lots of things go wrong kaviyochel in all our lives. He'll discuss it now. So one who lacks betochen, he doesn't recognize that these are all controlled by Hashem and it's all coming from Hashem. So he suffers terribly from any loss of that which is beloved to him. He loves his car and then his car gets lost or whatever. Or he loves this or he loves that, or he loves his holidays and then he can't travel and all things or whatever. Or he was planning on going fishing tomorrow and then he got sick, or all the kind of things that upset him. And he feels very deprived. He feels very, very lacking, so to speak, when things that he wants are withheld from him. As a result of this, he stockpiles large amounts of material wealth for the future. Well, he tries anyway. He's not always matzliach, but he spends an enormous amount of time and energy stockpiling for the future. As if he's sure about how long he's going to be in this world for. The sorrow ma'alav amos amavis, and the fear of death is removed from him because he thinks he's going to be here forever. Because he's still working when he's 75. He's still saving up for a rainy day. Einu zoicha achrisoi. He doesn't remember his afterlife. And he busy himself with all the material things in this world. He doesn't think about ruchniyistika things or about preparing for the afterlife, his final destination. He doesn't think about olam haba. His confidence that he'll live forever, he'll live a long, long life in this world, drives him to a taiva almost. He uses Loshon taiva. It drives him to have taivas for matters that relate to this world, to his material existence. He has a lot of taivas for his world, this world. And it also causes him to limit the desires, the yearnings, the taivas he has for the next world. Just to put into simple language, our language, he's very involved in the physical world and he's not taking too much time out for his spiritual world. We know lots of people like this. We'll see, we may even have some sheikhs to this as well. Aval, that's definitely somebody who has no betochen. These are two extremes, obviously. Most of us live somewhere in the middle of these two extremes, which we'll see now. We'll do a summary. We'll get that clear. So it's very interesting that Rav Matisyahu brings down that it's the Gora, well-known Gemara in Gittin, that Shlomo Melech sent the Ben Yoada, who's one of his main generals, Ben Yoah Ben Yoada. He sent him to capture the king of the demons, Ashmedai, because he had knowledge about things that Shlomo needed in terms of building the Beis HaMikdash. He had certain knowledge about it, so he went and he chained him, he captured him. That's a whole famous story about how Shlomo Melech released him, and then he threw Shlomo Melech out of the kingdom. Anyway, but while they were traveling back, while the Ben Yoada was traveling back with this demon in chains, so they heard a man telling the shoemaker, there was a man in the shuk telling the shoemaker, please make me shoes that will last for 7 years. So he laughed. Ashmedai laughed. So the Ben Yada asked him, what are you laughing about? Why are you laughing? So he said, this man doesn't even have 7 days left. And he's asking for shoes that last for 7 years. The shoes will be here long after he's not here. He doesn't have 7 days left to live. So the Chofetz Chaim on this, that Rav Matisyahu brings down, that it's a famous Chofetz Chaim. When people, when they hear about somebody passing away, or they got a revaya, they don't think that's got something to do with them. They don't think one day they'll also die. What do they think? They think there's, just like there's a Chevra Kedisha, there's a society of people who tend to the dead. So too, there's a Chevra Shomaisim. There's a group of people that die. But he doesn't belong to that group. He's not a member of that club. There's a club called the Shtarvenim. There's a club called People That Die. You know, I don't belong to that club. I'm not a card-carrying member of the club of people that die. So therefore, it's not kosher to me. I never signed up for that kind of a club. So things are lost forever. That's what the Chofetz Lovos is talking about. People don't contemplate the fact that this world is limited, and therefore you have to stock up for the journey, not for yeah. If other person needs what he needs, yeah, we're not saying, yeah. We've spoken about that already at length. What you need, yeah, you need. But not to be, the lack of betochen causes a person to be stockpiling and working and trying to save up. And then he gets caught up in all these taivas and he forgets his ruchnias and he gets very lost. And we know people. It's a very common thing. We see exactly what it looks like. If someone will tell this guy, listen, you know, what are you living for? Have you woken up? You know, it's time to start. What are you doing? Or, you know, you got enough to live on for the next 500 years. What are you busy with? When are you going to start providing for the afterlife? That is your final destination. When are you going to start thinking about some ruchnistika things? You know, maybe some stalker. Maybe start thinking about, you know, investing, hedging your bets a little bit. They'll tell you, when I've got enough money saved up to provide for my family and those that depend on me, my wife, my children, until the end of my days, then I'll have everything I need and I'll be released. I'll have no more sheikhs to worldly worries. Then I'll be freed up to pay back the obligations I have to my brother. Then I'll be able to pay Hashem back for what I owe him. And then I'll think about ways of providing for after my day of death. But in the meantime, what's going to be while I'm here? I need to have enough to live on for the next, I don't know, 50 years, 100 years. That's why I can't. And it sounds ridiculous, but we all know people like that. We all know. Rav Chaim Brisker said once, he's waiting to meet the child. So somebody said, what do you mean? Which is the child? He said, every time I see a person, I tell him, when are you going to learn? He says, well, I can't learn. I have to provide for my children. I want my son to sit and learn. So I'm working, so my son will sit and learn. When you meet the son, you tell him, when are you going to learn? He says, I have to work. I have to provide for my kids that they can sit and learn. He says, I'm waiting for the child that's actually going to sit and learn. Well, when are we going to meet the child that actually everybody's been working to support this kid in learning and everybody's working to support this kid in learning, but I never met the child? Because we're all busy worrying about, you have to, well, what about now? What about taking care of you? So this guy, he's got no betochen. So that's the way he runs his life. Okay, we'll pick up more of these ideas as we go forward. The Chofetz Chaim is going to pick this up in Perek Vav and Perek Zayin a lot. But I want to just summarize the seven things. They're important to remember. They're important to keep going back to when you're in a situation, whatever the situation is.
Can I just ask you a question? It might be straightforward, Kazora, or not done before. But the guy that you're talking about, that we all understand, you know, he's trying to provide and put away for his whole family and whatever it is. He's the guy, I don't know, some of us might be shaykh to that, but we're not necessarily shaykh to that. So we, on the other side, we see clearly that without a doubt, that the things that are coming up, even in the not so, there's the near future, but there's also even the not so near future, let's say a couple of years down the line, you know that you have to start marrying children off one after the next. And there's a lot of money that's clear. It's like clear that there's money or panasa that it's going to be needed for basic things that is expected of any parent to do. So what I'm just trying to transfer the same attitude of chasing after trying to put money away, but not because you've got $1 million in the bank, but rather because it's clear that there's zero money and there's big things that are around the corner, so to speak.
You know, so like I said, when the Chovas Ravos talks about someone who's a Baal B'Tochen and someone who's not a Baal B'Tochen, he's setting up two extremes here. He's talking about somebody who's a full-fledged Baal B'Tochen, which is not us. And he's talking about somebody who has no Baal B'Tochen Bichlal, which is also not us. We live somewhere between these two poles. We live somewhere between these two poles. And it's a very personal thing. It's a local kach pashut. Do you start saving? Do you have an insurance policy? Don't you have an insurance policy? Yeah. Do you save for your children's cousins? Don't you save for... Rapinkas once said, you want to save for your kids' chasanah. So okay, let's work it out. It's not a subject now, but just because you raised it. So he said, how much do you need to marry off a child today?
Humongous money.
So how much do you need to marry off a child? Let's say each child, whatever, I don't know, $50,000, whatever. Forget about dirhams. You're in shekel before 800,000 shekels before you even start.
Yeah, okay, 150,000 shekels, say.
Forget about dirhams. You need whatever to marry them off, to set them up, to buy them furniture, to pay for the chasen, the clothes, whatever. Yeah. You know, 150,000 shekels, yeah?
Right.
So let's say you've got 10 kids, right?
Yeah.
So how much can you save every month? How much can you put away in your salary? How much can you put away? So let's say you put away
zero. Zero.
No, but let's say you really, you're doing well, you can put away 1,000 shekels a month, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
So so after you've married the first child, whatever you saved up is gone. What are you going to do for the other 9 children?
Yeah, 100%.
How much can you save? So I'm not a person, once again, don't worry. That's a very personal question. That's a personal question. You ask people that have married off their kids, how did they do it? How did they afford it? Did they save whatever? Each person's got his own story.
Right.
He's supposed to have his own story. He managed to buy his kids a deer and he did this and he everyone's got his own sipur. And it's a very personal thing that a person has to make. You can't just sit back and say, I'm a Baal B'Tochen, because you're not a Baal B'Tochen.
Yeah.
You're not a Baal B'Tochen. You have to stop fooling ourselves that we're Baal B'Tochen. We're not. Yeah. We work, we're apprentices, we're on the way, we're facing the right direction on the journey. But how much you have to make and we have to make, that's a hard cheshbon. You have to sit with Bastard, you have to sit with Adam Godel, and you have to work it out.
That's not a
small story. That's not that a person has to be responsible and has to know who he is. That's not something that there's a klal gadol. Everybody has to know. You have to sit with the pastor and you have to know what you have to do and when you have to do it and how much you spend and what not to spend. But the question. Everybody has the question. Eli knows what we're talking about for sure. As you get older, your kids get older, you start marrying off kids, money becomes like water. I'm telling you, there's just more money's flying all over the place, like ridiculous amounts that you can't even begin to be massive. I look at my young married children, whatever, you know, they talk about, 100 shekels, 500 shekels, whatever, you know, I'm just like, there's money like it's water flowing through your fender. You don't know where to start. And the amounts are ludicrous. Like, it's impossible, you know. You're paying off this mishkant and there and helping this one and doing there. And it's just, And then I think, maybe it had saved. You know, you start having, maybe I should have saved more, whatever. But you're ridiculous. How much can I save? I can't even get through the month, let alone save. But even if I could save, 1,000 shekels a month, a lot of money to put away every month. So at the end of the year, you have 12,000 shekels. In 10 years, you'll have 120,000 shekels. Not enough for one chassan. And what about the other 10? I'm just saying, it's that's why we're working on B'Tochen, because we don't have money. If you got money, you don't need B'Tochen. we have to know where we're holding. It's very important. We'll see. In the last chapter, he's going to deal with 10 different types of B'Tochen, 10 different levels of B'Tochen. Rav Dessler discusses this. It's a very irritating exercise to do. Take out Rav Dessler, he goes through the 5 levels of B'Tochen and try and see where you fit yourself in. In the beginning of World Mosque, Rabbi Tetz does it. If you want to do it in English, there he brings down those letters of Dessler. Try and see where you fit in. You realize nowhere. You're posh, a little bit, maybe a bit there, but at the end of the day, like really nowhere. So we're small fry, we apprentice Baalei B'Tochen. We're starting out just trying to have some Yeshuva Das, Menuchas HaNefesh, We mentioned that the other day, that exercise, what'll give you Yeshuva Das in a certain situation, let's say, Shidduchim. It's a good example. Let's do a practical exercise here. We asked, what'll give me yeshuva? B'tochen gives you yeshuva das, right? So Baal B'tochen, where does he get his menuchas and nefes in his yeshuva das from? He's from his B'tochen. Yeah, that's why. You ask him, why are you so calm? It's B'tochen. You ask me, why am I so calm? So I'm a bit of B'tochen for sure, but it's because, you know, whatever. I know that I get a salary every month, or because I mentioned the story when the battery from my car died and I needed a new battery. So I was worried, whatever. Then I wasn't so worried because I just, someone giving me money for something, which I planned to use for something else. But Nishkefelach, so I bought the battery with it. So I was relaxed because I had the money in my pocket. I bought a battery. But it wasn't because I had betochen. It was because I had betochen in the money. So what would give you, have to ask yourself, what would give me yeshuva das about marrying off my children? So one thing is if some uncle I never heard of in New Zealand died and left me $5 million. So then I wouldn't have yeshuva das about marrying off my children. I had $5 million in the bank. Wouldn't be that worried about marrying off my children. You know, yeah, I would daven for shiduchim, whatever. Yeah, but you know, when you got that much money, you can't, right? So okay, but I won't have a tochen in the money because I don't have the money anyway. I won't have a tochen in Hashem. So what will give you, ask yourself honestly, what will give you yeshiva das and menuchas and everything about marrying off your kids? And then start working on having a bit of betochen in Hashem, that if Hashem wants your kids to get married, Hashem will take care of them. He's not going to, Hashem wants your daughter to marry someone who's not going to marry unless you buy a deer in Yerushalayim, and Hashem wants that shidduch to take place, so then the deer in Yerushalayim will come from somewhere. There was once, I remember, two people went to Rav Aaron Leib. There was an argument, the mechutanim, who's going to pay for what at the wedding or whatever. So Rav Aaron said, I don't understand you guys. You don't make any sense. Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give this couple, they're going to give them. There's nothing you can do to take it away from them or give them more or prevent them from getting it. So you're having a fight about who's going to be the shliach of Hashem to give these kids the money. Hashem wants him to get the money. You said to Hashem, right, I'll take care of it. So Hashem will give them the money. If he doesn't want them to have the money, there's nothing you can do that'll give them the money. What are you going to do? What are you arguing about? Who wants the schus of being Hashem shliach to take care of this couple? That's what you're arguing about. I said, I don't understand. It's a silly argument. I told the one guy, you're an avrech. You're sitting and learning. You take it on. He's a balabos. He doesn't have the siyata d'shmaya that you have. You won't find the money. You're an avrech. You're sitting and learning. You'll find the money. You take it on and you'll find the money. Hashem will give you the money. Don't worry. different istaklut. I would have said that the balabos is working, the avrech sitting and learning. Yeah, the avrech sitting and learning. Yes, siyata d'shmaya, Kodesh Baruch will take care of him. The balabos, who knows what will be with the balabos? Yeah, that's why you have to speak to Das Torah about these things, because then you get reality, you get clarity, and you also get the bracha. You get the bracha of knowing that. I mean, my Rebbe once said to me, each child comes with his bracha. Whatever he's going to get, he comes with his din is his bracha. You're going to give him the money, not give him the money, take away the money. If Magiel or the kesef, he'll get the kesef, not kosher to you. Anyway, that's not exactly our subject now, but the message is you have to go speak to big people. You have to speak to Das Torah and ask Shalas about this. It's something we have to get more habituated to doing. Sometimes you have to make more ishtadlis. Sometimes you don't have to make it. It depends. Each person's different. You're not going to get it. There's no clear-cut principles here. Okay. Let's summarize the seven differences. And we'll see where we kind of fit in somewhere in between all of these. So the first one we said, how are we doing for time? Okay. The first one is said, a person has betochen, so he accepts Hashem's judgment in all matters and thanks him equally for the good and the bad. Doesn't matter what happens, he says thank you. That's the first one. He accepts Hashem's judgment in all matters, whatever happens, on the Kabbal, and he thanks Hashem whether it's supposedly good or bad. So already we're not holding there. That's way, way above where I'm standing at the moment. It's a massive level. Theoretically, I understand it. I could even prove it to anybody logically that has to be true. But to live with it where you're really feeling yeshuva das and menuchas and nefesh, and you can thank Hashem for the good and for the bad with the same level of simchat, those are hard darges. Someone who lacks betochen, so he takes personal credit for all his successes. Everything that goes well, he's, wow, that was a good deal. Wow, I sussed it out cleverly, whatever. And when everything goes bad, so then he blames that on Hashem. You know, Hashem. Yeah, why don't your business like a deal? No, that's all it. Call me Shemaim, I call me Hashem. He sounds very frum. But when he's doing well, he'll tell you out. Oh, he said, well, I told you that that's a good deal. I told you there's a good shares to buy. The second one is the one who's betochen. He's relaxed with his present situation. He's at peace about the future. And he trusts that whatever Hashem brings is good for him. That's the yesod of all betochen. The yesod of all betochen is a kodesh bochur only wants my good. Therefore, whatever he's doing is good for me. Therefore, he's calm and relaxed because he knows that whatever happens, it'll be first from it's from Hashem. It's for the good. Someone who lacks betochen, and there was a big chiddush he said there, was that he's unhappy even when the things are good. A person who doesn't have any betochen, he's never satisfied. He always wants more. And then for sure in bad times, he's really off the chart and he's always worrying about the future. But he's never even happy when things are going well. Because he's caught up in the Yeshmona Roitza Messiah. He doesn't have Hashem to fill his life. He doesn't have that connection. So there's this hole in his heart always. He's always wanting more and more. The third one is that one is betochen, so he realizes that Hashem controls his income. So he doesn't become excited about his occupation. His ishtadus isn't what gives him, it's a bracha to be able to enjoy your ishtadus. No one says no. A person can make a ishtadus and make a panasa from something he enjoys and something he's good at. The Chovei Soloveitchik said himself that that's how a person should find his panasa. Find something you enjoy, find something you're good at. It's a big bracha to be able to enjoy the ishtadus you're making to make panasa. But that's not what drives him. He knows he has a chiv to make panasa and he's grateful to Hashem that he's able to make panasa in an area that he enjoys. But if he makes money out of what he's doing from his ishtadus, he doesn't make money. He doesn't run away from it. He knows that the ishtadus isn't what's making the panasa. So he never falls in love with his vocation. He never, when it makes money for him, he loves this. And when it's going bad, he throws away and he tries to find something else. He's always running around trying to find other deals and other. No, he did his homework carefully. He chose a good ishtadlus. And now he does his ishtadlus. When the money comes, it doesn't come. It's all kashur to him. Someone who doesn't have betochen will be, when the business is going well, oh, he's so excited, he's so happy with his business. When it's going bad, he abandons it. He runs away. He can't. He's always running after himself. He can't ever settle down. He falls in love with his business when it's going well, and he becomes terribly disillusioned with it when it's not going well. Once again, practically a person has to know. It could be that you have to change job. Could be that this is not, maybe this is not for you. You have to ask Das Torah. Well, generally speaking, if you've chosen the right ishtadlus, you keep carrying on with your ishtadlus. What will be? I don't know. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll change your status. I'll give you more money, less money. So those are shalas for Das Torah. The fourth level was one as betochen uses what he has for his needs and he spends the rest very, very open-handedly on mitzvahs. Means he knows how much he needs every month to live, whatever he needs to live. Yeah, he has extra money. So he knows that it's not for his personal needs. He gives that away, he uses that for chesed, he uses it for tzedakah, blah, 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 blah. He uses it for... Somebody doesn't have betochen, so he's never got enough. He's not so easy to give away his hard-earned money. You go get a job. You're asking me to give you money? Go get a job. I worked hard for my money. Just give it away so easily. And what do you see, Lamaisa? Chovei Soloveitchik says, the guy who's giving away his money, he sees his wealth increasing. And the guy that's holding on to the money that he has because he worked for it, and it's his money, whatever, his wealth decreases. He eventually loses it because it's not his money. Hashem gave it to him to test him, to see how he'll use this extra money. Number five, I just want to get through all of them so we don't have a long time. We'll come back to this later. These seven things are more chashuv. When is betochen, say he looks at working to make a living as part of his spiritual growth. Spoke about this many times. That going to work and your panasa and what you're doing, that's also spiritual growth. That's also building your olam haba. Therefore, he chooses a panasa that enables him to stay true to his Torah values. He's not going to find a panasa that's going to cause him to have to do things that go against his principles. Because his ishtadlus is also part of his avoida. It's not that he has two lives. He works in the morning and he goes to the Beis Midrash in the afternoon. Those are two things. One's Gashmis, one's physical. No, it's all Torah. It's all Torah. Why is he going to work? Because he needs the money. Most of us don't need the money that we're working to make. Most of us, most of the money that goes out of our pockets is not going to us. There's a whole bunch of other people that are living off us. And so it's kulu mitzvah. Kulu mitzvah. So therefore he'll do a hishtadlus that's in line with Shulchan Aruch. Someone who lacks betochen, so he sees his hishtadlus and his work as a way of making wealth through his own efforts, the koich veitzim yodi. So he'll do anything to make money. Even if it's something that goes against his Torah's principles or whatever, he'll find some excuse, whatever. The people say, yeah, but everyone does it. It's not important. It's not shach to make a panasa today if you don't do this. And he'll dray around and he'll find ways to justify doing things that are not exactly glad because he believes that it's got something to do with him. Somebody who doesn't know that, some knows that it's got nothing to do with him. So why would he do something against the Rotzen Hashem in order to do the Rotzen Hashem? The law doesn't make sense. There's a big nisayin that I'm not saying not. Well, the Baal B'tochen knows there's a law. The law, it can't make sense that I'll do something connected to the Rotzen Hashem. Because the Ishtalis is the Rotzen Hashem, so I'm going to do the Rotzen Hashem by going against the Rotzen Hashem. There's the problem with that. When we had the show, when we were learning with Rav Grossness many years ago, I'm going back 30 years. So somebody once asked him, what's B'tochen today? Well, what would be for a businessman, a person that's working there, whatever, learning it for part of the day, whatever. Well, what's called B'tochen for him? This is all very nice. If I was looking sure lie, what? So I remember a Baruch said a more indica thing. He said, avoiding the gray areas. What's mutter? You do. What's asala gamre? Nobody does. Nobody in that share, nobody that we're talking to here does, sends out the mafia to shoot his competitor because the guy, we're not talking about, we're talking about the gray areas. Exactly, Osir. It could be mutter. You could, everyone does it. It's those kind of things, those business practices. Just avoiding those is already for us. That's called betochen. There was I remember that clearly. It was like a moedike insight. Just avoid those gray areas. That's why do you avoid the gray areas? Because you have betochen. Someone who doesn't have betochen, he can't avoid the gray areas. You're right. You can't run a business without doing stuff like that. Everyone's doing it. Yeah, but I'm not everyone, and I'm not in business to make money. I'm in business because I'm doing a mitzvah. It's like taking Apostle Esrog to be Yotzi the Mitzvah's Esrog. That's what it's like. The Ishtadlus I make is a mitzvah. So how can I be Mekayim the Mitzvah by using Apostle Ishtadlus? Avoid the gray areas. That's betochen, not tzidkus, not gadlus. No, just that's how you start working on your betochen. Number six, one who's got betochen is never jealous of anybody else. Therefore, people feel comfortable around him. They can trust him. They know this is a reliable guy because he's not interested in anybody else. What other people have got doesn't mafsid me. Therefore, it creates environments of trust, of love, of kindness. It's a healthy place to be. He's a healthy person to be around. One who lacks betochen, so he's always jealous and he's accusing other people and he's blaming other for what goes on because he's here because you got the deal and I never got the deal and you opened up a store around the corner from back, and he's a really horrible guy and it's very difficult to get on with him. And the last one we just saw now is someone who has betochen, he understands life's temporary, he's not here forever. Therefore, he uses whatever he has here in order to prepare himself for Olam Haba, and he's freed up for that, like we said right in the beginning. Betochen is what you need in order to free yourself up for avodas Hashem. Without betochen, it's very hard to be an eved Hashem. And the person who doesn't have betochen, he's forever trying to make himself comfortable, yeah, and make himself have what he needs, yeah, that he ignores preparing for the next world. Okay, Adkan, the seven, that's Perek Hay, a very important Perek. You can see it. Mot Chashuv. Mitz Hashem, next week we'll start Perek Vav. We mentioned he's going to pick up in Perek Vav, he's going to pick up this last piece we spoke about, that somebody who doesn't have betochen, he's going to insist on having enough money saved up and put away for his future before he's going to start serving Hashem. He calls it somebody who wants a mashkin from Hashem. He wants a mashkin from Hashem. And the Chovetz Chavos will spend Perek Vav is going to be going into that. He's going to be going into that at length, and he's going to show the ludicrousness of it. And we'll see that we have, it's not these wild, extreme apikosim or whatever. A lot of it fits into our basic dynamic. We'll see. There's a lot of work to be done here as well. It's very interesting, and it's very, very liberating as well. When you start seeing yourself in the picture and you start getting the Chovetz Chavos message that it's ludicrous, you start seeing how ludicrous you are, that can actually free you up to start functioning a little bit differently. That's a shame. We'll do that next week.
Thank you so much, Omar.
Appreciate it.
To you guys.
Good evening.
Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Call to.
Take good care.
Love you as well.